Peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle from Romans. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, today we properly distinguish between the law and the gospel. This is the specific teaching and gift that God gave to the church through the Lutheran Reformation. To preach and apply the proper distinction between the law and the gospel is why God created Lutherans. Seriously. The Bible teaches what God does through the law and what God does through the gospel. They are not to be confused or mixed. They are to be properly distinguished. The law, the Ten Commandments, is the law. The law is not the gospel. In other words, the Ten Commandments are not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. The gospel's not the Ten Commandments or the law. We'll learn and review this today, so hang on tight. This is going to be quite a ride. Now, sadly, the majority of Lutherans in the world today are ashamed of the Reformation. They call it, and I'm not joking when I say this, most Lutherans in America call the Reformation a mistake. And so most of the Lutherans in the world have lost their biblical nerve to preach and teach the proper distinction between the law and the gospel. In fact, they categorically refuse to do so. If you'd like names, I'll give you names privately. Now, this is an enormous tragedy in the history of the church. And why is that? Well, these Lutheran and name-only preachers and theologians make the law the instrument by which God saves people. In other words, they teach that the law is the gospel, or that the gospel is the law. No proper distinction between the two, ever or never. But we here at Trinity Lutheran in Murdoch, we are not embarrassed to be Lutheran. We are thankful for the theological heritage God has given to us. And so, we properly make the distinction between the law and the gospel, and we dare to be Lutheran in that way, not for ourselves, but for the sake of the church at large. The proper distinction between the law and the gospel is vitally important. It is salvationally significant. Glorious light it is. The proper distinction between the law and the gospel enables you to understand and believe the central and most important teaching that the Bible gives. And what's that? It's this. So that you, the sinner, will trust only in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, just as the apostle preaches in today's text. Listen again. Listen to this. This is important. For we hold that one is justified, namely before God, how? By faith, apart from works of the law. Or as Paul puts it, God is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Did you hear that? Faith in Jesus. Paul says more. He declares that sinners are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by, what did the text say? To be received by faith. So justified by faith we are, faith in Jesus only, and it's apart from the works of the law or the Ten Commandments. God justifies the one who has faith, but faith in who? Faith in the crucified, dead on the cross, sacrifice that answers for all sin and every sinner, Jesus. And so I ask you, if you've been listening, I ask you, why does God forgive you? How does God save you? Why does God give you heaven? Is it through the law or the Ten Commandments? Or is it through the gospel, namely the preaching of Good Friday Jesus for your salvation? Which one is it? Huh? Is it the law or is it the gospel? Do you put God under obligation to save you, forgive you, and give you heaven by your keeping of the Ten Commandments? Does commandment keeping give you forgiveness? Give you heaven? Can you expect God to forgive you because you try hard to keep the commandments? No. It's just the opposite. Listen again to the epistle. Paul categorically preaches, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law," or the Ten Commandments, listen, this is very important, "through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So the Ten Commandments save no one. God did not give us the Ten Commandments to save us, to forgive our sins, or give us heaven. Instead, the Ten Commandments, the law, are God's x-ray machine, his MRI or his CAT scan. They reveal our malignant spiritual disease, sin, as the epistle says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus in the Holy Gospel today put it this way. If you sin, you're a slave to what? To sin. And so, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, all people, and you and I, are not excluded. We are all sinners, enslaved to sin, bound to self-centeredness, addicted, like a crack addict, addicted to the 24/7, 365 desire to be like God, incessantly insisting that our words are divine and infallible, doomed to hellacious eternal death, and we're even blind to this slavery to sin. Now, listen carefully. Thanks be to God. Seriously, thanks be to God that he uses the Ten Commandments, or the law, to do what? As the text says. To show us our what? Our sin. You can't get any more serious than that. You see, we are so blind. Our old Adam and Eve, they are so blind to our spiritually sick situation that God has to reveal it to us through his word, namely what? The Ten Commandments, or the law. Listen again to what the text says. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And, you know, this is the divine work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. You might not have known that. Jesus teaches this in John 16 when he says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world with regard to sin. So if you're picking up what I'm throwing down or what Paul's throwing down in the text, the Holy Spirit uses the law, the Ten Commandments, to convict all of us. That we are sinners, that we sin. Now, why is that? Why does God do that? Well, there's a simple reason for it. It's so that you and I will finally tell the truth about ourselves. That we are what? Sinners. So that our old Adam and old Eve will die daily. So that we will kick the habit of constantly trying to use the constantly trying to use the law to get saved. That we will all stop depending on what we do or what we don't do to put God in some kind of salvational full Nelson. That we will all, finally, and for the rest of our earthly life, trust only in Good Friday, dead on the cross, Jesus, for salvation, for forgiveness, for heaven. So that, as Paul says in the text, so that you are justified by faith in Jesus apart from works of the law. So, to repeat, the law doesn't justify anybody. It doesn't save you, doesn't forgive you, doesn't give you heaven. Instead, it shows you your sin. It puts the old Adam to death on a daily basis. Only the gospel then justifies. Only the gospel forgives, saves, and gives heaven. Like St. Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, we are not ashamed of the gospel. Why not? Paul says in Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Did you catch that? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. The gospel is the power of God for, not the what? Not the law. The gospel saves. The gospel forgives sinners. The gospel is what? The gospel is the salvific good news that Jesus died for all of you, and that in and through the preaching of the gospel, the promise of forgiveness is actually given and bestowed. The promise gives what it says. The gospel gives what it promises, namely that all your sin is forgiven for Christ's sake, that Christ's Good Friday blood purifies and cleanses you from all sin. Tell me, name the sin or the sins in your life, no matter how little or how big. God the Father has put his Son Jesus Christ on the cross as a propitiation by his blood. In other words, Jesus is the one and only sacrifice that accounts for your sin and gives you salvation. Only in Jesus, who kept the law, the Ten Commandments, perfectly in our place, are we forgiven. Are we justified before God? And to faith says what to all of that? What does faith say? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. I trust that you died for me, that all my sin is forgiven for your sake, that my salvation doesn't depend on my commandment keeping, but on you, Jesus, bearing all my sin and all my hell for my commandment breaking. That's the gospel. The gospel speaks of what Jesus did for you. What he did for you. Faith only speaks that which it is given, namely the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so faith in Jesus, trust in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation in heaven is the highest worship of Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus has sent me to you to be your pastor to preach two things. According to the text, what would those two things be? What do you think? The law. What else? The gospel. The law, not to save you, but to show you your sin. So now, if you're understanding what the text teaches, Kuhlman doesn't preach the law just to say, na 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 na. Not just to yell and scream at people, but to tell the truth. That you and I are all sinners. And that only through the gospel are we saved. So every Sunday, I speak to you the absolution. I preach and I teach the gospel. I baptize your children and grandchildren. I hand out the Lord's body and blood in the Lord's Supper according to his promise as his messenger so that you receive the forgiveness of sin. And so, as that goes on, Revelation 14 is taking place. Remember what Revelation 14 said today? Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth. Now don't misunderstand, I'm not saying I'm an angel. But I, like the angel in Revelation 14, every Sunday exhort you here at Trinity to, as Revelation says, to fear God and to give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. His judgment of both what? Law and his judgment of gospel. They come through the preacher. The law, sinner. Old Adam must die. And you need a Savior. The gospel, you, the sinner, forgiven for Christ's sake. He died for you. And so fear, love, and trust in Jesus above all things. Now, in addition, I, like the angel in Revelation 14, exhort all of you here at Trinity to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one in three and three in one, who created, as Revelation says, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water, who created you in order to redeem you and to sanctify you. To redeem you by the blood of Jesus, to sanctify you in the preaching of the gospel, in your baptism, the absolution and supper. So, brothers and sisters, there's nothing to be ashamed of today, this Reformation Sunday. Instead, we are bold to properly distinguish between the law and the gospel. The law, as the text says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The gospel, it is the righteousness of God, the text says, that has been manifested apart from the law. Sinners, as the text says, are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. God is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, for we hold that no one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. One final point. Commandment keeping is not for salvation. Duh, I've said it a million times today. Again, commandment keeping is not for salvation. Faith in Jesus is for that. But you the believer, the faither, the truster, you want to keep the Ten Commandments. Why? For God's glory and for the benefit of your neighbor. But that, only that flows from faith that comes from the gospel, Jesus who saves you. And it will. God will have his way with you. He will use you in that regard. And God be praised for that. Happy Reformation Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.